In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at the readings of the fifth Sunday of Lent, year C. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea. This is what happened with Egypt, and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen of a powerful army till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. This is the creed of Israel, that God opened a way in the sea through the mighty waters, and he crushed Pharaoh and his chariots. This is the creed of Israel. This is what they say, the mighty acts of God. But then it says something, remember not the events of the past. In other words, don't even think about me opening the sea, me destroying Pharaoh. Remember not the works of the past. Why? The things of long ago, consider not. I am doing something new. Oh, yes. This must have sounded to the people as craziness. Remember not that God opened the sea. Remember not that he destroyed Pharaoh and his armies. Remember not, because I'm doing something new. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? What was the new thing that God did? It was the Jesus event. In other words, forget the opening of the sea. Forget Pharaoh being destroyed. I'm doing something new. Oh yes, and it probably took 1,000 years for Jesus to be born from Mary and of the Holy Spirit. Just remember this. God wants to do something new in you. God wants to do something new in me. Yes, something wonderful, more wonderful than we could ever imagine. This was what he said to Isaiah. Don't remember the events of the past. Don't consider them. I'm doing something new. I want you to do the new thing in me, Lord Jesus. I want you to do the new thing in my friends who listen to me. We need the new thing. And I tell you, the new thing is always in the gift of the Holy Spirit. The new thing is always in the proclamation of the cross and resurrection. I want you to do something new in me by your Spirit, because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Just tell the Lord, I want you to do something new. I want you to do something new. Send your Holy Spirit upon me. I need the Holy Spirit. My soul thirsts for the living water, that water which only you can give me, the Holy Spirit. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. I'm doing something new. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers, wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches, for I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. Do you know that you are part of the people that he formed for himself? Yes, you were not formed for yourself. You were formed to give him glory. You were formed to give him praise. I was formed to give him praise. I was formed to give him glory. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes we can all feel so neglected. But the Lord says, I formed you for myself, that you would announce my praise. Today, let's announce the praise of God. Let's announce what he is doing. We had prayer for the sick on Saturday, and we had ladies whose legs were healed, that they were able to walk without pain, or without very much pain. I'm doing something new. We prayed for a woman who was deaf. She was not healed. I don't understand it. I cannot understand it, but she was not healed. But we continue to pray because it is the Lord who heals. It is the Lord who does something new. It is the Lord who has formed us for himself, that we might announce his praise. This is so important. So important. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's all about him. I'm looking at the response, and the response is, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, that's from Babylon, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. Why? Because they who were in Babylon were coming home to Israel and to Jerusalem. Our tongues were filled with rejoicing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Oh, yes. The great thing was that the Lord brought them back out of Babylon. Remember, he said 70 years you're going to be in Babylon. Now he brings back the captives. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Are you sowing tears today? The Lord says you're going to reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying seed to be sown, they come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves full of wheat. I tell you, God has something for you today. God has something new for you today. God has something new for me today. Help us to believe it, Lord. Help us to believe it, Lord, that what you've done in the past in our lives, we celebrate, but you've got something even greater in the present and in the future. How do I know that? Because it tells us that in Isaiah 43. It tells us that plain and simple. Philippians 3, verse 8 through 14. I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. What did he consider a loss? That he was perfect under the law. He considers it a loss. It doesn't make any difference anymore. He wants to know Jesus Christ is Savior, his Lord. When it says no, it doesn't mean to just think about. It means to experience the supreme good of knowing experientially Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, especially all of his titles. And I consider them as so much rubbish. Oh, the real word is dung, manure. I consider all that I was as manure, that I was righteous under the law, that I may gain Christ and be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Our righteousness comes through faith in Christ. His blood makes us righteous. It has nothing to do with who we are. It has everything to do with him, our faith in Christ. The righteousness from God, depending on faith, to know him, yes, experientially, and the power of his resurrection, and sharing of his sufferings, by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is so powerful that it says to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings. Well, Paul is in jail. He's sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Oh, you'll get it. You'll get it when we all get it at the end of time. You'll get the resurrection from the dead. Paul, your body will be resurrected. Hallelujah. This is the promise of Jesus. It is not that I have already taken hold of it. I have attained perfect maturity. But I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Do you know that you have not loved him first, that he has loved you first? Do you know that he has taken possession of you before you have taken possession of him? Do you know that? You say, I'm all alone. No, you have been taken possession of Jesus Christ. He took you as his own possession. You need to take him as your own possession. This is real. This is real. That God wants us to know that he has sent his Son for us and that his Son has taken us as his own. Do you know that the inheritance of Jesus and the Father are the people of God? We are his inheritance. And do you know that he is our inheritance? Oh, it's not that we have a car. It's not that we have a this or a that. We have been taken by Jesus Christ, even in sharing of his sufferings, the sufferings of persecution. Yes, by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have been taken possession by Christ Jesus. I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing. This is the one thing. Forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. What was in back of him? Oh, he was righteous by the law. No more. Righteous by faith in Christ. What else does he not think about behind? He destroyed Christians. He put his thumbs down that Stephen would be killed. He forgets these things. You see, the devil wants to torment us and say, look what you did, Paul. Here you are preaching to all these people. And what happened? You killed Christians. What does he say? That I consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing. I forget what lies behind. You need to forget what lies behind after you go to confession. You need to go forget it because it's not good. It's not worthy of your remembering. Once we go to confession, the blood of Jesus purges us, and we do not have to remember what we did because it has been forgiven. It has been forgiven. This is real. This is real. You know, the enemy knows how to get us out of our peace. He starts saying, well, you know, everybody thinks you're so great, but if they only knew, I'm telling you, only knew nothing. I've been washed with the blood of Jesus. You've been washed with the blood of Jesus. And you need to forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead. And what lies ahead? Life in Christ Jesus. Life in Jesus Christ, that's what lies ahead. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind me, but straining forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit toward the goal. What's his goal? The prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. The upward calling in Christ Jesus. He considers everything as manure compared to experiencing Christ Jesus and the upward calling of Christ Jesus. Now the gospel. John 8:1-11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That was a place where he prayed. Oh yes, this was his favorite place to pray. It overlooks the holy city of Jerusalem. But early in the morning, he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. This is what Jesus did. He sat down and taught the people in the temple area. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. Oh, she must have felt so awful that all these eyes are looking on her, that she was caught in the very act of adultery. My question is, where's the man? Takes two. Oh, yes, they wanted to test Jesus. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman." Oh, they're trying to test Jesus. "So what do you say?" They said this to test Jesus so that they could have some charge to bring against him. But what does Jesus do? Jesus never looks at the woman. All these dirty old men are pointing their finger at this woman who's probably half naked. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. What did he write? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But he began to write with his finger. But when they continued asking him to straighten up, he said to them, "Let the man among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they all went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman. I won't tell you, he never looked at that woman until now, after these dirty old men have left the scene. He never looked at that woman. That woman was being condemned by these people, and he never looked at her, because it would be one more eyes that would say, "Guilty, you're no good." You see, Jesus goes beyond sin, and he forgives sin, and he also knows how to do that. And he was left alone with the woman before him. Now he looks at her, and Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Oh, yes, this is what Jesus says. He is so careful not to look at the woman until the elders are gone, because all the eyes of condemnation were on that woman. "Has anyone condemned you?" "No, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, you might have these sins that you think cannot be forgiven, but yet God in Christ has forgiven you through his blood when you go to confession. This is real. This is real. You might be an adulteress or an adulterer, but yet God wants to forgive you through the blood of Jesus. You might be a thief. God wants to forgive you through the blood of Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying today? Do you know what I'm saying today? God wants to forgive you through the blood of Jesus. This is real. This is real. I'm not talking ragtime. This is real. He has been looking for you for a long time. And it's now time to surrender your life to Jesus. It is time because he beckons you. "Come to me, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will refresh you." Oh, yes. Lord, we need to be refreshed. We need that your Holy Spirit would cause there to be refreshment by the grace of God. We need that refreshment. We need it. Are you one of the sinners? Well, we're all sinners. You might say, well, I never did anything with adultery. But you see, when you sin, you break the whole law. And God forgives us through the blood of Jesus and through our faith in Christ and our going to confession and just breaking with it by the grace of God one moment at a time. You might be someone who is an addict and you've been on drugs and alcohol. It's time to go to confession. It's time to let go of your drugs. They will destroy you. They will kill you. This is what the devil wants. But you must not go with the enemy. God wants to forgive you, and he wants you to know his power and his presence. No matter what you've done, it is forgivable. It is forgivable. The only thing that's not forgivable is to reject forgiveness. Then if you start accepting forgiveness, that even is taken away. You've got to receive forgiveness in order to give forgiveness. And you know, we need to forgive people. We need to forgive people for what they've done to us. We need to forgive ourselves. That's the hardest part. Not only to forgive people, but to forgive ourselves. Let's pray. Father, give us grace to forgive people today. Give us grace to forgive ourselves today. Give us grace that we might walk with Jesus. And with St. Paul say, I only want Christ and to know the power of his resurrection and to experience some of his sufferings, persecution. God in Christ reconciles the world to himself through the power of the cross. I look at Genesis 46, Joseph meets his father, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went out to meet Jacob, or Israel, his father, to Goshen. And he presented himself unto his father. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are yet alive. Remember, the brothers put him in a hole and said that they killed him. So the father has been mourning all these years, and today he finds out not only that Joseph is alive, but that he see him face to face. And Joseph said unto his brothers and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brothers and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. Let me tell you that shepherding is what Jesus does. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Yes, know the voice of the Lord today. It is not a voice of condemnation. It is a voice of love. It is a voice of peace. It is a voice of renewal. It is not a voice that points the finger at you like those dirty old men did to the woman. That is not the voice of God. The voice of God is, go and sin no more. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and you are mine. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That you shall say, Your servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Remember this, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You do not have to listen to the lies of the enemy. You have to remember this. Grasp on to Jesus, the King of glory, and forget what lies behind after you go to confession. Forget it, because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.